going into this industry, it's an industry you cannot be afraid of rejection. So I think early on, I sort of understood that people are going to say no. I think a lot of new people and even experienced people, like they're to get out there and door in WA, I know it's a lot bigger over there. In WA, no one door knocks. I don't know why. I don't know if it's they're lazier over here or if they're afraid of it. And I'm sure a lot of people are afraid of people sort of telling them to get off their block or who knows. But I guess the thing from the beginning was I was never afraid of rejection. So whether I knocked on 100 doors and 99 people told me to get off their front doorstep, it didn't really bother me. So I just go knock on the next door or the same thing, making a call. So I think that was the biggest lesson I sort of taught myself early on was just, who cares, just move on to the next one. People need to sell, people need to buy. People are going to say no, people are going to say yes. Get over it and just keep on going.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers, and leaders. Each episode, we bring you the best minds in business and real estate to help you list more, sell more, and elevate your results. To connect with all things Elite Agent, including the latest news, coaching, and features, subscribe at our website, eliteagent.com.
Welcome to another episode of the Elevate Podcast. I'm Samantha McLean, editor of Elite Agent.
And I'm Mark Edwards. I'm also from Elite Agent.
How weird's that?
I know.
Do we need to come up with a new intro?
Possibly.
So let's introduce our guest then.
Who we got?
You like all those Kiefer Sutherland shows, don't you? Like
24 and Designated Survivor.
Yes. So our guest this week actually...
is Kiefer Sutherland.
No, it's not Kiefer Sutherland. I wish. No, I don't wish. Our guest this week studied counterterrorism and security and intelligence at university.
What?
I know. He's like a real-life Jack Bauer.
How cool.
He works for RealMark.
That is pretty amazing.
I don't know if they know that or not, but there you go. Interesting fact.
A counterterrorism expert in their midst. Watch out, Percadani.
It must be a fun conversation starter at parties. Maybe he doesn't let it know. But Ryan Smith. So Ryan Smith was Rookie of the Year. And... you know, like we have a lot of successful leaders on this show. We have a lot of successful business people on this show. But I think it's important for new agents also to hear from some of the rookies coming through the ranks. It's not often, you know, what are you doing? That's not the right question, as Max says. The right question is, what did you do?
And it's really hard for somebody, you know, sort of brand new in the seat to know what to do.
Yeah, exactly. I think these days a lot of offices are a lot better than the usual. There's your desk, there's your phone, go for it. But I think it's really interesting to hear from rookies. And obviously, WA hasn't been a good market for years. Yep. So he doesn't have the markets bad as an excuse for poor results. I just think really Ryan Smith is a bit of a go-getter actually. And he's come from a family of sporting royalty as well. So he's played golf and football for Western Australia. His father and sister were professional golfers. He owns a gym and he's also an investor in a restaurant food chain in Cambodia.
Wow.
And sort of thought real estate would be good to get some balance in his life. I wish I was that young again to feel that way.
Wow, that's amazing. And with all of this going on in his life, he's also managed to pull off Rewa's Rookie of the Year.
Really amazing achievement for him. And I guess the next step for him is thinking about building a team and building on his success in 2019, moving into 2020. Now, I guess he has a bit of an advantage, like some of those skills that I just talked about, maybe not the security and intelligence thing, but I think having some experience in digital marketing is really helpful. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the big takeaways in this podcast as we really dig into how does he use digital marketing as an agent. And I think there are some really great tips there in bringing the community together in an offline sense.
There are certain things that you need to be taking, you know, so that particular bull by the horn and leading your own branding.
It is. You know what he does? Something that you really love.
What's that?
He organises puppy meetups.
Oh, how good is that?
So, yeah.
Is that like The Bachelor met at the dog park?
Yeah, a bit like that. If you look at Ryan's Instagram, there's a lot of photos of dogs. And
you're my man, Ryan.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew you'd be a fan of that. So I guess, yeah, this is a pretty interesting podcast from the point of view of, you know, Ryan had to start from scratch. I mean, obviously he's working for an amazing guy in Paul Tonich, and I think the families go back a bit, or it sort of sounds like they do. But, you know, in this podcast, we're obviously talking about digital marketing, about what he did in the early days, and also, obviously, he's probably still very committed to health and fitness
Owning a gym, you probably are. Now, look, I'm going
to... No excuses.
I am going to make a bit of an educated guess here.
Yeah.
That... there are a ton of things that could have been taken out of this particular episode.
Yep, I did take notes. And, you can rely on me for the notes.
And what have you done with those notes, Sam?
I have put them online at eliteagentelevate.com. So all you need to do is put in your email address and we will send those notes to you via the electronic airwaves.
And you can hit the button and print it out and write it all on yourself. Or alternately, you can subscribe to Extra and we'll do all the hard work by printing it out on A3, folding it, stapling it, putting it in an envelope, landing on your desk, a 40-page newsletter each and every month.
With all the best takeaways from all of our podcast guests.
And some more.
And you'll notice too, as I said, it is not just the people that have been established, the established leaders in the industry, but it's also young guys, because I think there's something to be learned from everybody.
If you keep on listening to the same music, you're never really going to appreciate what else is out there. And I think that even for seasoned professionals, having the view of somebody new in the industry as to how they are doing it and how they are getting wins underneath their belt, when you think about it, if you're able to take another tip or trick from somebody who hasn't had the, I suppose, the weight of years of doing the same thing the same way, you could potentially just be on another, you know, sort of a winner.
Well, yeah, that's why I like talking to new agents, I guess, because when you're talking to someone who hasn't done it this way just because that's the way we've always done it, that's when the amazing breakthroughs happen. I'm still yet to talk to a young agent that uses TikTok yet, but, you know, I'm sure it's coming. Be afraid.
Excellent.
EliteAgentElevate.com for the show notes. Then I think on that note,
let's go to the reel.
Let's go to the reel. So welcome to the podcast, Ryan Smith.
Thanks for having me.
Congratulations, firstly, on winning RealMark's Rookie of the Year.
Thank you.
And also WA's Rookie of the Year.
Good experience, and it was an honour to win, which was awesome.
Well, that's quite a pretty exciting first year in real estate for you, right?
It's been full on. Didn't really know what to expect, but yes, it's been exhilarating.
You could have gone either way. So, you know, you've had a bit more than a year in real estate, but you've played golf and football for Western Australia. Your father and your sister were professional golfers. I was really impressed that you studied counterterrorism, security and intelligence at university because I'm a fan of 24. So I'm kind of thinking, oh, my God, you're almost Jack Bauer.
I wish.
But you turned to real estate instead. So give us a little bit of background on how you ended up in real estate.
As soon as I left school, I went and did my real estate license. I've always been fond of it. It was sort of something I always wanted to do. As you said, at the time I was playing football and golf and really didn't have a life outside of that. I did do some work experience with a firm over here who's the director at the time, or he's still a director. He was very close mates with my dad, so he sort of took me in under his wing, learnt a lot, but weekends it was just, I just couldn't commit. And if I can't commit 110%, then I just felt like I was letting them down and didn't want to do it. So I stuck to the football and golf and did a big 180, and here I am today.
Tell us what your first year in real estate has been like, because you would have had to start from scratch. So did you start shadowing another agent, or did you just say, right, this is it, I'm going alone?
It was a bit of an interesting one. So when I first started, the whole idea was I was meant to be shadowing someone at the start. He was actually coming over from a different another agency. And all ready to go. And then a few days out before I started, he got a pay rise and ended up staying to where he was. So
oh, right.
I rocked up, my desk was there and ready to get going, and found out I was thrown into the deep end, which, to be honest, I don't mind. It's either sink or swim. So I was meant to be shadowing someone, but didn't end up shadowing anyone. I had some great colleagues around me that I could sort of pick their brains, and they sort of helped me out along the way. But I like to sort of learn by my mistakes and trial and error sort of guy. So it just sort of took off from there.
WA is a tough market, but that's all you've ever known, right? So we can kind of put that aside. Yeah. How did you go about getting the first one in the bag?
I've always had a pretty decent sized network through golf. It's a great sort of networking through my family and friends. And it was more just literally letting everyone know what I was doing. I've sort of got a reputation of being somewhat of an honest person and a good person. So I did have family and friends who at the time, it was actually my auntie, my first ever listing. So they were about to come to the market and I just said, oh, hold up. I've just got my license. Give me a go. And families, they're very, very nice of them to entrust their property with myself, and we got it sold for them, which was awesome. So the first one was through the family, and then after that, it was literally just talking to everyone, letting everyone know what I'm doing, knocking on doors, making calls, letterbox dropping, anything and everything.
How many properties have you sold in the last 12 months?
In the last 12 months, probably 34 now, 34, 35. The funny thing was, the last financial year, so I was obviously fortunate enough to win the RERA award. I didn't actually start until probably late August. I sort of came into the industry, but as everyone knows, your first sort of month, first 2 months, it is very much trying to find your feet. I was fortunate enough, like I said, to have a family member in that first month to sort of kickstart me, which gives you that little bit of confidence to say, you know, I can do this. I've got a good result for them. They were happy. Buyers were happy. But it was a good start, but 34 in the last 12 months. In the first 2 months, I sort of was sort of slashed, and from there it was all gone good.
Amazing. So for someone who's, say, really new to real estate, because we get a lot of newbies subscribing to Elite Agent every day,
yep.
What are some of the big challenges that you've faced over the last year, and how have you overcome them? Like what have been the big things that you've had to say, okay, all right?
I think the biggest one was I've never been going into this industry. It's an industry you cannot be afraid of rejection. So I think early on I sort of understood that people are going to say no. But I think a lot of new people and even experienced people, like they're to get out there and door in WA, I know it's a lot bigger over there. In WA, no one door knocks. I don't know why. I don't know if it's they're lazier over here or if they're afraid of it. And I'm sure a lot of people are afraid of people sort of telling them to get off their block or who knows. But I guess the thing from the beginning was I was never afraid of rejection. So whether I knocked on 100 doors and 99 people told me to get off their front doorstep, it didn't really bother me. So I just go knock on the next door or the same thing, making a call. So I think that was the biggest lesson I sort of taught myself early on was just, who cares, just move on to the next one. People need to sell, people need to buy. People are going to say no, people are going to say yes. Get over it and just keep on going.
By employing door knocking, which is something really different, I'm guessing that kind of set you apart. But it's actually difficult to go up and knock on someone's door that you don't know. I mean, often agents will use strategies of having a market report or something like that under their arm. Was there anything special that you did? Scratchy, that's another one I've heard.
Yeah.
Which is really good.
Yeah. I was crapping my dax the first door knock I did. I literally just ran up to the door and just knocked it. And once you knock it, you can't unknock it. So it was literally just getting up there and hitting that door. But firstly, I just walked around with cards and just introduced myself. Basically, hey, I'm Ryan from Realmark. I'm your local agent in the area if you ever need it. It was more of just offering them something rather than going, oh, are you looking to sell? It's more just introducing, letting them understand, I guess, hear my empathy in the voice and said, okay, he's a normal guy. He's not asking for anything. He's introducing himself. And if there's anything I can do, feel free to give me a call. Because I knew that combined with everything else, letterbox dropping or the social media, it's just those touch points. And whether it's a hot touch point or a cold touch point, it's a touch point. And playing the long game, it's going to add up. And it's not going to be the first time I knock on the door and it won't be the last. So.
Because it's not one single door knock that is going to bring you the Rookie of the Year award. It's a whole bunch of stuff together, which I'm very keen to talk to you about. So you actually have a business in digital marketing as well. So you actually have a good handle on how building an ecosystem in the digital world works as well. What sort of a factor do you think that's played for you?
Oh, a huge factor. Before real estate, when I was with the gyms, we actually employed a digital marketing agency to help us with the gyms and really got no results, felt like it was just burning money. So I sort of took it under the wing to say, you know what, oh, I think I can do this better. So I went out and did a few online courses, didn't go to university for that, did a lot of online courses, YouTube and podcasts and blogs. They're a wonderful thing these days. So I learned a lot online and basically went from there. We got some amazing results with the gyms, with the social media, and thought I can do this for anyone. So we got a lot big into restaurants. At the time, I was actually working in bars a while back when I was a bit younger, so I knew a lot of people in the hospitality industry. Sort of made our way into there and started helping out a lot of bars, got some great results there. And from there, it just sort of launched, and me and one of my friends basically started a digital marketing agency. We looked after about 15 to 20 sort of event and hospitality companies here in WA. and just learnt and learnt along the way. Everyone knows that Facebook's a pretty powerful tool and it changes every day, unfortunately, so you've got to stay on top of it. But
it does.
But it just putting that into real estate terms, it was just a no-brainer, being able to bring more buyers to your properties or to reach people, that electronic door knock, I guess you could call it, in your local area is just incredible.
So there are different types of ads and things like that that you can run on Facebook. How do you approach your digital marketing strategy as far as Facebook is concerned with a mix of, say, brand and listings?
Yeah, well, we always try to do, you've got your properties that you sell. We run campaigns for them. We can spend anywhere from $100 to $1,000 on a certain property. Understanding your markets, understanding where your buyers are actually coming from, finding those trends and then targeting those properties to those specific buyers is a massive. But we've increased our leads by about 20-30% when we started really pushing and really understanding who we want these ads to go to. That was, I guess, the tipping point to go, this actually really does work. And we are creating competition in a market that other agents are taking 50, 60, 70, 100 days to sell. We're able to sell in 3 weeks. So, and then using that to go to other sellers and go, guys, this does work. Here are examples. We've got hundreds of examples now. That's just from the property side of things. The social side of things and getting to know places. I'm a big dog lover, as probably if anyone follows my Facebook, I love dogs. So we're now holding like community dog events where we will get the vets down. They do little doggy show bags. We do free coffees. We're now doing that. Going to get a dog shelter involved and raise some money. So promoting these events on social media, the first one we ever did, we had about 700 people interested in this event. About 150 showed up. We had about 60 dogs there. It was quite incredible. It was going crazy. But using social media to bring the community together where you're the face of it, these events now, I'm linked to all these people. They follow my page. So it's just creating the go, oh, this guy's an actual human being. We're not just seeing him on social selling properties. He actually has a passion. And your passions might not always link with their passions, but you've got to be real to who you are. There's no point me going out there and pretending to be something I'm not. You're always going to get caught out, as everyone knows. So be who you are. People will like you for who you are and bring the community together. And social media is just a massive part of that.
And you get to play with dogs. What's exactly. Not to like about that?
Exactly. And my dog gets to make a few new friends.
That's what you call a win-win-win.
Yeah.
So what are your favourite tools in managing your social media presence?
Well, the property ones, they're pretty standard now. You sort of get used to it. It's fun to sort of get creative with social media these days. So whether it's, I'm a big believer that everyone knows videos are taking over. So, for example, testimonials, you see people put up these testimonials that are unwritten down. It's boring.
Bit of a cringe, yeah.
Yeah. So we're now doing every testimonial is this video. So every client we do, we get a video testimonial and post that online. So little things like that. You can reach the masses with videos. Facebook, their algorithms do, I guess, promote that. So they'll help you push it a little bit further and get that extra reach. So we're going a lot more down the video side of things, whether it's doing live videos, doing lots of giveaways. I was able to build that audience really early from the start by just doing giveaways. Once again, understanding your market. 75% of my following is females. So I'm a big believer that females make the decisions when it comes to the houses. We all know that. My wife certainly does. So it's understanding who your market is and how do you reach these people. For example, a lot of giveaways we did were Kmart voucher giveaways, and we'd get 2,000-3,000 comments on these giveaways, and your likes have got 500-1,000. And yes, you might not get a listing straight from that, but I get listings every week now from Facebook where I had a guy call me up from Busselton saying, we've had our market on for 130 days or whatever it was. My wife's told me I've got to call you. And literally just because she's followed me from a giveaway. So just to be able to grow, understand your audience, understand what they want, and then just be who you are. And if they like you, great. If they don't like you, then I guess you can't do much about it anyway. So
the strategy is, like if I could just sort of paraphrase this, is when you know who your audience is, you can do something that is perhaps unreal estate related to get them to follow you.
Yeah.
And then obviously in following you, then there's going to be a bit of real estate thrown in via video and stuff like that. So then they get to feel like they know you.
Correct.
And see you with dogs, which is really cute. And
you don't want to be that guy that's just all real estate. Like we're past that. People are sick of that. We we try to do, yes, you get your properties, that's awesome. But I'm not big into, it'll be a quick video saying, hey guys, we just sold this property. Give them something, give them what it sold for, how many people you had through, what's the actual market doing. But then once again, we'll try to throw in giveaways every month. We'll try to throw in a community event every month. Every 2 weeks at the coffee shop across the road in Florida, I'll go over there and buy coffees for an hour. So I posted that on Facebook. Guys, come down, have a chat. I'll just buy a coffee. I'm not here to sell anything. It's more of just enjoy the coffee. It's Friday morning. What's a better way to start off than a free coffee on a Friday? So little things like that. So once again, it's just a bit of entertainment and giving knowledge back. We do every Tuesday. This morning, we get our finance broker just to give us an understanding of what's going on. It's literally a 2-3 minute chat where people can watch online and go, okay, cool. Obviously, with what's happened with the banks and the interest rates, just giving an update, things like that. So it's education, have a bit of fun, community events, and then you get your property.
Absolutely. As a new agent, what are some of the other things that you're doing right now to set yourself up for a big next year, next 5 years? Because we're nearly into 2020 now, although, you know, mentally, I sort of sometimes feel like I'm already in 2020. What sort of planning are you doing at the moment to, you know, springboard off the success that you've had this year?
Yeah. So I've just hired my first sort of sales assistant slash PA, and it's more of preparing myself for right now. I don't technically, I can do all the work right now. It's fine. But in 6 months' time, when which everything's sort of going in that direction, once I'm busy, I don't want to get into a situation where you get really busy and then you let down a client. So I'm preparing right now for that next 6 to 12 months. I was fortunate enough to be, Realmark flew a couple of sort of like a leadership group over to Melbourne about 3 weeks ago. So we got to meet with a couple of cool sort of agencies and learn from them, your Gary Peard, O'Brien's, and listen to these people and listen to their top agents and actually understand what they're doing. And it's not rocket science. There is a process in place that these people get to a certain point, they hire someone, they get to a certain point, they hire someone else. Their teams grow. No one does that in WA, whether that's the people are scared to invest in themselves. I think it's an industry you've got to back yourself in to stand apart. If you can go to someone with a team and offer the services you can offer with a team, and the level of service is just on another level. And I noticed that in Melbourne, that the things they do over there compared to what we do in WA, it's if I can take half of what they're doing over here and implement it here, I'm going to stand out. So my mindset, I'm taking 100% of everything you guys do over there and implement it over here. So it's been able, we're always at 5 years behind the East Coast, so it's been able to get that head start on everyone.
I think it's interesting what you say, because taking on a person is a fear for everyone, not just real estate, but in any business you're in, I think, because then all of a sudden you've got two people to be responsible for. But, correct. You know, like if you've got a clear pipeline, then that decision becomes easier, I think.
Correct. Yeah.
So using your experience, if someone was listening to this thinking, I want to get into real estate and do exactly what he's done, how would you prepare to become a real estate agent if you're brand new in the game?
Learning from someone, and I didn't, like I said at the beginning, I was, I guess, unfortunate I didn't get to shadow someone, because I believe that is a great way in. So, and I would be that guy, I would pick someone and go, mate, I'll work for you for free. Just let me learn from you. Let me do what I need to do. So that was half the reason why I started at the start. It was just more I got thrown in the deep end due to his personal circumstances. But being able to actually shadow someone and just learn, just take it, don't expect to write $1 million in your first year. Just take in everything, be a sponge, absorb it all, but also understanding that exactly what the successful people do is you don't have to be them. You don't have to copy everything they do. I was very fortunate enough, and I guess it's just my personality, I reach out to a lot of top agents within my company and other companies and go buy them a coffee and pick their brain. And every one of them, they all do the fundamentals very well, but they've all got their sort of unique touch on it. One of them door knocks every day, twice a day. One of them's very big on social. One of them's just specialised in apartments and has a whole other ball game he works with. So it's been able to take a little bit from everyone and implement it into my business. And you've got to do things you enjoy doing. And a lot of prospecting is, I don't understand why people hate prospecting. It's literally, it's your practice. It's how you actually get business. So it blows my mind when people aren't just sitting around doing nothing. But don't be afraid to get rejected, because you're going to get eaten alive in this industry. Just understand it and be real. Be who you are. Every client that I've had is I guess once again is this is the only market I know. So a lot of agents are like, oh, what are you doing? Or how's your energy so high? Why are you so positive? That's what the client wants to hear. Like, I could go in and say the exact same thing that another agent said, but it's in a different tone of voice. And they're like, oh, it's so good to hear someone with some energy and positivity. I don't have the experience to challenge the agents that I go head to head with experience. So I've got to outwork them. I've got to out-energize them and just show that passion. And that's been the biggest thing for myself is I'm the first one in the office every morning, the last one out. So it's been able to outwork them. They're not going to be able to keep up energy-wise. And that's what young people are going to have over them. Not even young, new people. Take that new passion, that honeymoon period, and just run with it.
Yeah, well, it's interesting you say that too, because you've got that competitive sporting background as well. So is there any lessons that you've taken from playing sport competitively into real estate that you think have kind of helped you in this first year?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm disgusting when it comes to competitiveness. Ask my wife, it's a bit ridiculous. But a lot of people sort of say they're hungry, say they want to work hard. You've actually got to walk the walk. And sporting has given me a great work ethic. Getting ringed by coaches my entire life, where just getting, if you make a mistake, you cop it on the chin and move forward. And you're not going to win every battle on the footy field. You're not going to win every one-on-one. So being able to sort of get used to going, you know what, I knock down, you get back up and you push on, has been a massive for myself.
So you've mentioned the gyms a couple of times too. So you actually own a couple of gyms over there, don't you? You're a part owner in them. And also, I think I read somewhere some restaurants as well in Asia.
Cambodia.
Yeah. So I'm assuming from the fact that you own gyms that fitness is still a big part of your life and maintaining wellness. How do you maintain work-life balance and keep that fitness and everything up while you're balancing all this other stuff?
Don't sleep.
Yeah, right.
Like yourself. I've heard your sleeping patterns on the other podcast. So it's health has always been a massive part of my life. People can say all they want about golfers and then it's not a real sport, but you can see these days on tour that golf is massive.
They're very fit.
Yeah, they're very fit. They're very mentally strong. So football-wise as well, the exact same. So I've always grown up with fitness, always been around me. And then moving into when I was studying, I was a personal trainer at the time and I was personal training in local parks. And I loved sort of helping people out and changing their life from that point of view. But it got to a point where you fill up a day with personal and all you have as a personal trainer is time. So it's a bit different now with the digital side of things. But at the time, that's sort of 8 years ago now, it's sort of gyms were the way to make that residual income to sort of create. And that was sort of how my mindset worked. So I was like, you know what, let's do it. Let's take a dive. I've always been a doer rather than a sayer. So me and one of my best mates and my dad sort of went off and got one open, had some good results, got another one open, worked in there full time, studied full time, played sports still. So it was more of just time management is actually not wasting your days. So I guess what you said, how do you do it all? It's not sitting on Facebook for 20, 30 minutes every hour, not knowing what to do. It's actually setting a schedule and completing it, ticking those boxes.
Well, absolutely. You carve out some time, like an ideal day or something like that. Have you got to that sort of structure?
I try to, but I've sort of figured out very early on that there's no such thing as an ideal day, because especially in real estate, if someone calls you and you got to go one way, you're getting pulled left, right and centre. So I guess it's that sort of early in the morning is sort of waking up, either being able to smack it out in the morning, smack it out at night. I have periods where I'm not a big sleeper, so I'd sleep maybe 3, 4, 5 hours max sort of a night. So whether it's morning or night, depending on how I feel, that's sort of where I train. I'm not that, I guess, routine where it's every morning, 5 a.m., I'll wake up and go to the gym. If I'm not feeling up to it in the morning, I'll do it at night. So I'm not too stressed about that. I don't go, oh, crap, I've missed a morning session. What am I going to do? You start freaking out. I'm pretty, as much as I'm full on, I'm pretty relaxed as well. So as long as it gets done, it gets done.
There's enough other things to freak out about anyway.
Exactly.
Okay, so we're sort of heading into the technology issue. So let me ask you a couple of tech questions. If I gave you $100 to spend on an app or on technology, what would you spend it on?
In terms of promoting the property?
Anything. What would be the best use of $100?
If I had the video and the pictures and everything, I'd definitely put it on social. I'm a big believer in video. I think people are getting lazier and lazier and not reading, even though we put so much time and love and effort into our copywriting. I think videos are just reaching the mass audience, and people can relate to videos. They can relate to lifestyle. You can add in what's around the property rather than just images of the property within videos. So if you gave me $100 with the marketing campaign, I'll definitely be getting a video out there to the audience that I want to market to.
And what if I gave you $2,000?
Yeah, once again, videos, messages, being able to create maybe two or three different styles of ads on social media, getting specific links in there to where we can actually retarget them, where we can follow them. But once again, it's just getting them in front of the right people. So if you have $100 or $2,000, if you market on social media, it's going to reach a very strong audience. Everyone, $100 reaches anywhere from sort of that 8 to 12,000 people. So if you've got $2,000, you're going to reach a lot of people.
So just throw it all on social.
There's no silver bullet with selling a property, but everyone's doing realestate.com, everyone's doing domain.com, so it's going to be on there anyway. It's being able to create that different audience. How can I bring buyers into your property that might not have been looking in your area? So that's the big key.
With the exception of Facebook and Instagram, because we know that they're pretty much must-haves as far as apps go, what three apps are on your phone right now that you couldn't live without?
It's not too much outside of the basic, your Facebook pages, your Canvas, your Spotio, and also RP Data, Instagram, Facebook, Driver's Note. There's nothing too crazy on here in terms of daily. I'm a bit old school, even though I love the digital side. I'm the person that has a written calendar in front of me all the time. I like to write things down. So I guess from a point of view, I don't have any sort of daily task apps. It's more so pen and paper, which might make me look a bit old school, but I love it. I think there's something satisfying about ticking a box on a piece of paper and writing it down or putting a line through it. So
you don't have to explain that to me. I'm right there with you on that one. Actually helps me clarify what I need to do of a day when I've actually physically written it down. Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
We've got an office in Floreat. We've really just started pushing big with Floreat in terms of a marketing perspective. And I want to base my business very much around how the East Coast sort of runs theirs. I'm a big believer in this is a sort of game I'm sort of playing for that sort of 25-year period. I'm going to go as hard as I can for a sort of a set period of time. I don't want to be 67-year-old still selling property. I've got a period. I've got my energy at the moment, so I want to sort of use that to the biggest advantage. But 5 years' time, I want to have sort of a good, solid team and foundation, a team that, I guess, stays with you rather than everyone. The churn and burn in real estate, as I'm seeing, is pretty high. So to be able to hold a team together and sort of take market share in an area that I'm passionate about, a lot of people at the start sort of told me, don't go into I'm in Floreat in Western Australia. So it is a quite nice area. And a lot of people said, oh, don't go in there. You don't want to go in there when you first start. Why? It's these are the houses I'm passionate about. I love the area. I live 30 seconds away. My office is in the area. Why wouldn't I be in this area? So taking the area over where I'm passionate, having the team based around me and just taking that market share, that is where I sort of see myself in 5 years.
We've talked about a lot today, and I think probably a lot of younger agents are going to be inspired by your journey, you know, in the last year. If there was one tip that you could leave them with, what would it be?
Understand where the market is going. It is changing. I've seen it change from literally day one to now, and it's been a year. Listen to where it's come from. So the older reps, and not older, more experienced reps in your office, listen to sort of where it's coming, where they think it's going. 2-3 years ago, people getting excited about Facebook, posting photos up on Facebook, but now that's not, we've moved past it. Now we're into videos. So what's next? Who knows? I'm an expert on the property industry, but I can sort of read the trend of where it's going. So if you're not on social media, whether it's Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, doing vlogs, doing things like that, and once again, who cares if one person watches you? Gary V's, the first video he did, there would have been one people watching. Look at him now. So understanding where it's going. And if you're not strong in that area, learn it and learn it fast. Every day we go, it changes and it's just getting faster and faster and faster. And I think if you're new into the industry, that is an exciting time to be. And it's the people that are sort of stuck in their ways will get pushed out. Their energy will drop off. They won't understand where it's going. And it's just such a good time to leapfrog them. And it only takes a year or two to really make your mark in this industry. And I think for a young person, just work your ass off and understand where it's going. The biggest excuses people always keep, and people, some people keep telling me, is the resources and the resources that aren't there. I think there's so much free resources out these days. Listening to Elite Agent, listen to Elevate, the podcast, listen to people like Tom Panos, for example, or even professional athletes or vloggers or YouTube, it's all out there. So I guess the biggest thing is just throw away the excuses. That's, you hear them all the time. It's quite embarrassing. It's just do it.
It's there if you want it.
Oh, my God. There's so much there. You can't get through it all.
Absolutely. Well, Ryan, it's been amazing talking to you, and thanks for sharing a bit of your journey for this year. We will definitely check in with you next year to see how you're going. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
To connect with all things Elite Agent, including the latest news, coaching and features, subscribe at our website, eliteagent.com.